this morning, go to John chapter 15. We'll be in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. This morning I have a question for us, and that is, where is your strength? Where is your strength? Is your strength Jesus? I guess that's two questions, isn't it? Where is your strength, and is your strength Jesus? So John chapter 15, starting in verse number 1, the words of Jesus Christ, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we ask that you bless our time. Ask, Father, that you would take away all distractions, take away distractions of our own thoughts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to you as you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us, taking the word of God into our heart. Lord, teaching us what we need to learn, reminding us of what we need to remember, helping us to apply the truth of your word to our life. Father, I ask that you would speak to the hearts of the children and junior church as always. Father, that you would just continue to minister to their hearts, Lord, allowing the word of God to take root in their hearts, helping them have fun, Lord, with the crafts, the games, whatever it is they're doing. Lord, just as you did in Sunday school, continue, Father, to help them to see that Jesus is the greatest friend that they can ever have, one that will never do them wrong, never turn away from them, will never leave them. Father, would you remind us of those same things as well, that we do have a friend in Christ. And more than that, Lord, our strength is to be gathered from Jesus Christ, because his grace truly is sufficient, as he told Paul. Father, we ask that you would have your way with us this morning and everything, Father, that you be glorified, Jesus Christ would be lifted up, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, is the beginning of verse 21. As Paul wrote those words to the church at Galatia, he wanted to remind them that their new life in Christ was just that, a new life in Jesus Christ, and they were to walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes it's harder done than said. It's easy to tell somebody, hey, just trust the Lord. But sometimes it's hard for that person to just trust the Lord when they're faced with a circumstance, a situation that's out of their control that they really want to control. But as he says several times, he says, but Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul did not want to frustrate the grace of God in his life. Does Christ live in you? Do you live in Christ? Are you frustrating the grace of Christ in your life today? Once saved, always saved. The gift of salvation is by Jesus Christ. It's given freely by God to all those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So not talking about salvation, but there are times where we can frustrate the grace of God in our life because we're not trusting Christ with our life. We're not abiding in him. We're not gathering, I should say, our strength from him. Remember, Paul was told by the Lord, my grace is sufficient. And Paul submitted to that. And he said, you know what? I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. It's not that Paul, you know, loved infirmities and loved to be persecuted. It's not that he loved to be beaten and stoned and thrown in prison. and shipwrecked and snake-bitten and hated by people, but he loved the grace of God in his life that helped him to continue on living for the Lord regardless of what happened. Again, the question for us this morning is, where is our strength? Where is your strength? Is your strength in the Lord Jesus Christ? Looking at the words of Christ here in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is the true vine. He is the source of our life, because the vine is the source for the branches. Just as Jesus is referring to these branches, if you were to go back to the last two chapters, in fact, chapter 13, Jesus is in that upper room. He is having the last Passover with his disciples. He institutes the Lord's table. He washes their feet. Judas Iscariot, he leaves to go betray Christ. In chapter 14, they leave that upper room. Verse 31, he says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. Jesus leaves that upper room with his disciples on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in just a matter of a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before the resurrection, no doubt, there was the crucifixion. But before the crucifixion, there was a Garden of Gethsemane. And before the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stopped by. He stopped off at the temple in John chapter 17 to pray his prayer for his disciples and those that would believe on him after his resurrection. But in John chapter 15, as he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he gets to the temple, he passes by a place where there are some vineyards. He sees these vines and he takes another moment to teach his disciples, as he was always doing, taking opportunities to teach those that would listen. And as they're looking, as Jesus has just, he has these vines, this vineyard that he can look at and he can have his disciples look at, and they see these grapevines and they see the branches coming off the vines and the cluster of grapes that would be there. Well, there'd be no cluster of grapes if there was no vine to nourish those branches, to nourish those clusters of grapes. And as Jesus says, I'm the true vine, Jesus truly is saying that he is the true source to our life. He's the strength of our life. He's the strength of our faith. He's the strength of our hope. He's the strength of our peace. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Without Jesus Christ, there's no rest for the weary soul. So as we look at verse number one and what Jesus says, I am the true vine, Jesus is saying, I am the source of your life. In John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every one of us has Jesus Christ for our source. There's not a single person that is born without God being involved. Jesus Christ is the one that gives life, but he wants to light your life far greater than just giving you life. Remember, he came to give life, to give it more abundantly. But as a child of God, as a Christian, as a believer, he wants to be your source of strength. A lot of Christians today are gathering, they're looking and gathering their strength from other sources, trying to add to Jesus. When Jesus is the true vine, he's the only source of strength that we need. And we're not talking physical strength, we're talking spiritual strength. Because we're living in the days where many are falling away from the faith. Many are not believing that Jesus Christ can still provide today. Some have forgotten that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Do you remember the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior? You remember how your life was different? Now, there may not have been, a big party. You may not have seen, confetti falling from the sky. It might not have been a lot of people around or no people around. Some people might have been excited. Some people might have thought you were crazy. But from that moment to now, You've seen how Christ has been your strength all along. Again, hindsight's always 20/20. I can look back and see in my own life where, you know what, where I thought I was helping myself, it was really the Lord holding me up. And the Lord's showing me that, you know what, your strength is fragile. His strength is eternal. Because I don't always need somebody to hold me physically up, but I sure do need the Lord to help me spiritually, to help my hope to remain in Him, to help me to stay calm and relaxed and restful in Him. So I don't get anxious and get full of fear and start doubting and start making decisions that would complicate my relationship with the Lord. Again, in John chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. As Jesus references the manna from heaven that God fed his people with, Jesus says, I'm that bread. I am that bread from heaven. I'm the one that gives life. I'm the one that sustains. I'm the one that nourishes. I'm the one that's always there for you and will always give you the strength, the grace that you need, because I am the true source of strength, exactly what you need. We find ourselves at different times maybe fatigued, find ourselves at different times maybe malnourished spiritually. You find ourselves at different times overwhelmed. And yet the Lord tells us time and time again, I am your strength, I am your source, cast your care upon me, I will sustain you. Again, Paul was able to say, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. Every child of God wants the power of Christ resting on their life, because it is the strength that helps us to face day-to-day life. It is the strength that helps us to resist the temptation of fear, to help resist the temptation of doubt, to help resist the temptation of giving up, because we know our source is coming from someone who you cannot drain of their resources. You cannot drain the Lord of his strength. You can't drain him of his grace. You can't drain him of his hope and his peace that he gives to each and every one of us. But as Jesus is the true vine, you and I are the branches. We're the branches that come off that vine. We serve that branch. That branch nourishes us. A branch does not bear fruit of its own, but it bears fruit based on the nourishment that it's getting from that vine. So again, we know that Jesus is the true vine. You know that. I know that. According to his analogy, we know we're the branch, we're the sheep of his pasture. He would use different analogies to just let us know that, you know what, our dependency depends upon him. Just as David said in Psalm 23, look at Psalm 23 real quick. Psalm 23, as David just uses the analogy, I believe by inspiration of the Lord, as us being sheep. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As David thinks about the Lord being his shepherd, the Lord is his shepherd, as he is our shepherd, what does a shepherd do? He leads his flock in the right way, leads his flock to that green pasture, providing exactly what they need, going to the still waters, not raging waters, but still waters. His rod and his staff, they comfort him, because the good shepherd, the great shepherd, is watching over his flock. What do I have to fear? But there are so many things that God's people are fearing these days that they don't need to fear, because we have a good shepherd who's watching over us, who will provide for us, who will sustain us with his strength. Look at verse 2 and 3 as Jesus continues on in John chapter 15. Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, he does sustain us with his strength, and how he does that is by purging and cleansing us. There are things that do need to be purged in our life. It may be sin. It may be weights, as the Bible talks about, weight, casting the weight and sin aside that easily besets us. But all of it is for our benefit. Again, the Lord does not want anything in our life that's going to cause us to doubt, to fear, to not trust him, to not follow him. He's going to purge those things away that are not fruitful for us, that are not going to help us bear out the fruit of faith, the fruit of trusting, the fruit of following him, the fruit of rejoicing in him, or even resting in him. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. He's not talking about salvation when he talks about purging. When he's talking, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Listen, he wants fruit to bear out in our life. He wants faith to bear out in our life. He wants hope to bear out in our life. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life. He wants us to gather our strength from him. Not strength to keep living our life how we want to live it or keep doing what we want to do, but the strength that he gives us so that, you know what, we can face the spiritual battles that we face. Because we are living in a day and age where the spiritual battle is ramping up. Because Jesus talked about in the latter days, it's going to get worse. It's going to be like the days of Noah. And we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, evil just continues to prevail, seemingly. You ever wonder why evil continues to prevail? You ever wonder, Lord, when are you going to like put your foot down and just stop all this wickedness in the world? He will. And when he does, there's a mountain that's going to split in two when he puts his foot down. Now, I've put my foot down as a father many times. I've stomped my foot to try to get attention. And thankfully, you know, the floor never, you know, split under me. But you think about the power of Christ when he comes and he puts his foot down. Listen, he's going to make everything right. But between now and then, he really wants us to trust him, to rely upon him. Because spiritual wickedness is going to get worse and worse. That spiritual attack that comes to you is going to get worse and worse. The Bible talks about it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's nothing to fear, but we do have to continue to have a sober mind, a vigilant mind. Ephesians chapter 6. The devil is having too much of a heyday in a lot of Christians' lives. He's having too much of a heyday in the minds of God's people. Not because Jesus is weak and can't protect his own, but because place has been given to the devil. So the Bible tells us don't give place to the devil. Because you know what? If you give him a centimeter of space, he's going to take a mile. He's going to take as much as he can take. But reminding us in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Keep reading, if you would. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, just the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, that battle will never end until we see the Lord face to face. We'll continue to be in that spiritual battle, but it's a battle that we don't have to fight ourselves. Listen, the devil's always wanting to draw people into a fight. You remember the bullies in school? They'd pick on people to try to pull them into a fight. But if you ignore them, they'll eventually leave you alone. But the devil will never leave you alone until he's in the lake of fire or until you're in heaven. But how did Jesus defeat the devil? With the word of God. Yea, hath the Lord said. He kept just repeating scripture. He kept repeating truth. So as you and I know that Jesus is the true vine, he is the one that sustains us with his strength. And many times there is going to be a purging in our life because he wants to purge away anything that's causing us not to trust him, not to follow him, not to rest in him. Whatever it is, he wants to purge that away so that we can bear fruit. Notice again what he says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. He wants fruit to abound in our life, and he wants us to continue trusting him. That word purgeth just means to cleanse of filthy impurity, to prune as a tree or a vine of useless shoots. There are things in our life that really are spiritually useless that are hindering us from growing and producing the fruit in our life that the Lord wants to produce. But verse 3, he talks about cleansing. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It does cleanse. It rebukes. There's times, you know, it chastens us. But it also instructs us. It encourages us. And it is our defense against our adversary, as Jesus teaches us there in Matthew, where he defends himself with the word of God when the devil comes to him, tempting him. And he says three times, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. But the word of God cleanseth us. You know what? We have some wrong thinking that needs to be changed. And yes, I'm talking about brainwashing, not as the world teaches. All right, I'm not going to brainwash you into worshiping me or doing anything weird. But you know what? My thinking at times is wrong. Because you know what? God truly can provide my every need. My God shall supply all your need. My God is truly there for me every step of the way. Again, we kind of were talking about this in Sunday school. What is it that God cannot help you with? Again, we were talking about Jairus and his daughter who had died after he went to get Jesus, and how sometimes God allows what we don't want to happen. And it's not for us to lose hope in God, but it's for us to not be afraid, as Jairus was told, but believe. Believe that God can. God's not limited to what he can do. There's nothing God cannot do. His arm is not short that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. There's nothing God cannot do. And he wants to do so much in your life and my life, but sometimes he's got to purge things out of our life, and he's got to cleanse our thinking at different times. James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Again, Jesus desires to purge and cleanse us so that we will bear fruit in our life by his strength. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he will not help us to accomplish. But as we think about the strength of the Lord, look at verses 4 and 5. As Jesus continues, and remember, when Jesus speaks, we ought to pay triple attention. We ought to pay a lot more attention. Now, sometimes when we're reading our Bible and we're familiar with, you know, a verse or a passage, we might kind of skim over it, might kind of read it fast and not think about, oh, I know what that verse says. We typically do that with John 3:16. Well, I know what that is, and I'm saved. I don't need to meditate on that verse. But we do because we're reminded, why did God save me? Why did God send Jesus Christ to die for me? Because of his love. For God so loved the world. Now, if he loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me, surely he loves me enough to keep living in me and helping me. Remember what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 said? As Paul speaking said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. Who is it that lives in you? Hopefully it's Jesus Christ. Hopefully you have Christ in your life. Hopefully you've got the Spirit of the Lord in you, the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I still have to live a life. I still have to live in this sin-cursed world. I still have to work a job, take care of children. All the things you do, you still have to do those things. But it's no longer you by yourself. Oh, yeah, it is, Pastor. I don't have a husband that will help me. I don't have a wife. Maybe I'm not married. I don't have kids. But the life that you have, you're not alone. Who is it that's always there, who never leaves you? Even when you get mad, he never leaves you. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's a question to us. Do we truly live this life by the faith of the Son of God, by Jesus Christ? If he's living in me, am I abiding in him? Am I allowing him to sustain me? Am I relying upon his strength and his nourishment and his grace and his peace? Am I allowing him to guide me so that I'm not led astray? Am I allowing him to be my healer when my heart is broken, when someone's broken my heart? When someone's done me wrong, am I allowing him to be the judge so that I don't have to bear the weight of what has happened? Again, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If we find ourselves feeling frustrated in our life and wondering, why isn't God doing this? Why isn't God doing that? It may be because we're not trusting him. We're not relying upon him. We're frustrating his grace. And that is why Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Not that, you know, it's great when I'm done wrong. It's not wonderful when I'm mistreated. It's not, you know, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, throw a party and invite all my friends to the party when my heart is broken. But you know what? If that is where the power of Christ is going to be shown the greatest in my life, then, Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my pain. I trust you with my heartache. I trust you with what I'm having to deal with, knowing that you're on my side because I'm your child. And the Lord gives us our strength to be able to go through those moments. But those moments aren't always there. Thankfully, not every moment of your life is like that. I hope it's not. Because God is a God of grace where he does give us a little breather. You think about, sometimes you may think your life is like Job, where it just seems like one thing after another is happening. Because in one day, Job has all these messengers come to him, one after the other, you know. Your children are dead. Your sheep have been taken. Your camels have been stolen. Just one right after the other. Some days it feels like that, doesn't it? Like you're just being dumped on. And you know what? The devil wants to suck your joy away. He wants to rob you of the peace that you have in Christ. What is your strength then? Who are you relying upon? Who are you letting control your life so that you don't have to bear the weight of everything? Again, you look at verses 4 and 5, we see the stability of our strength. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now it's kind of elementary, but it's true. As Jesus is just giving them a visual lesson, as they are seeing this vineyard, they're seeing these vines. And Jesus says again, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You can't do anything without me. Just like a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, it has to be attached to the vine. so it can be nourished, so it can bear the fruit it's intended to bear. And Jesus says, obviously, that we have to abide in him. How do I do that? How do I abide in Christ so that I can have stability in my life? Well, there's three ways that we can do that. First, we must be secure in his salvation. Are you secure in your salvation? I remember asking Jesus to save me. I do too, but there was a time in my life I wasn't secure in it. I was even at a point of doubting it because of certain circumstances in my life. But if we are secure in our salvation, then you know what? I am standing upon the promises of Jesus Christ, that he is my vine, he's my strength, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's the rock, he's that foundation that can't be shaken. Am I secure in my salvation? If I trusted him for salvation, why don't I trust him for this? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, God's not going to leave you alone. God's not just going to cast you at the devil's feet and say, here, do whatever you want. He's not going to do that. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Are you secure? We must be secure in our salvation. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Absolutely. Do you know what? That should cancel out any other doubts that we have. Any other problems we have should all be canceled out because you know what? He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my rock. He's my God. He's my friend. He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. But you know what? Secondly, we must remain in his love. We must remain in his love to continue abiding in Christ. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, Jesus says in verse 9 of chapter 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. But also we must remain under his leading, our following. Continue following the Lord. If I am secure in my salvation, I must remain in his love. If I know he loves me, then I know that he has my best interest in mind. He has thoughts of peace towards me for an expected end. But also, if he loves me, he's not going to just let me do anything I want. He's going to convict my heart about it. He's going to come to me as he came to Peter. And he's going to warn me, hey, if you do this, it's not going to be good. Jesus tried warning Peter, hey, you're going to deny me. Peter said, absolutely no, I'm not going to deny you. And this is, I keep bringing this up because listen, there's not a one of us in here that would stand up and go, you know what, I'm going to deny God as a child of God. I'm going to deny Jesus Christ. But we do at different times, if we're not careful, by not trusting him, by not listening to him. Again, Peter loved Jesus Christ, but he denied him 3 times. And after he did what he said he wouldn't do, the Bible says he wept bitterly. You know how you can tell a true child of God? They weep. They are convicted over what they do against the Lord. Peter wept bitterly. But the grace of God, Jesus Christ came to him to strengthen his faith, help him to get over his failure, and to keep following him. That's how the Lord works in our life. He wants to be our strength, but we have to allow him. We have to trust. We have to be secure in our salvation. We have to remain in his love. I know he loves me. Never doubt the love of God. Don't allow yourself to be one of those Pharisees that says, if you're the Son of God, show me a sign. Because if you've already asked Christ to be your Savior, God already showed you a sign. That was Jesus Christ on the cross dying for your sin. There's nothing more he needs to do to prove his love. He laid down his life willingly for you and for me, for everybody else. But we have to remain under his leading, letting him lead us, letting ourselves follow him as he leads us. Romans 8:9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be it the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Again, if you're born again, you've asked Christ to be your savior. You've got the spirit of God in you who wants to lead you according to God's will. He doesn't want you to be full of fear, full of doubt. He doesn't want you to be troubled, doesn't want you to be weighed down with the weight of this world. He wants us to abide in him so we are stable in his strength. His strength is what's nourishing us. His grace is what's helping us each and every day. And because we are abiding in Christ, there's fruit bearing out in our life. Notice what he says in verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's God in us doing the work. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now the fruit that Paul's talking about souls, because there's somebody who may plant the seed, come along, you know, you pass out a tract, and then someone else, not knowing what you did, comes along and hands them another tract or just has a conversation with them. But what I'm saying is, God's the one that gives the increase. Our life is to be watered by the word of God. Our life is to be instructed by the word of God. We are to give ourselves to the things of God. We are to allow Christ to do what he wants to do. He wants to bear fruit in our life. Somebody once said, our union with Christ is a living union, so we may bear fruit. David said this in Psalm chapter 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just reminding us again this morning, God's desire for you is to bear fruit in your life. Not the fruit that we want, but the fruit that he wants to be bore out in our life. Again, when you look in Galatians, it lists the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy. You know what? There are some people that don't feel loved because how they've been mistreated. But do you feel the love of Christ in your life? That's a greater love than any human can give. Because human love is limited, but God's love is not limited. Except maybe for a couple in here, there's probably not a single person who hasn't been mistreated at some point in your life. Don't compare that person and their lack of love towards you with God. God's love is not human love. Because God's love is a sacrificial love, an unconditional love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's not a single human that will do that. Most people, well, I'll be your friend if. They all have stipulations. They may not say it that way, but you do something they don't like, they drop you like a hot potato. God doesn't. If he did, Peter would not have experienced the grace and love of Christ on that day when Jesus came to him and said, Peter, do you love me? It grieved Peter to be asked that because he knew what he did, but he's like, I do love you. And the Lord simply said, follow me. It amazes me. You read that account. Jesus doesn't say, well, you ask for forgiveness first. You confess what you did wrong first and then. No. The Lord said, you love me? Okay, follow me. Forget what you did. Stop letting it hang over your head. Stop letting it be a weight in your life. Let go of it. Follow me. And without Jesus saying it, Jesus is saying,
My grace is sufficient. You messed up, but you know what? I still love you. I still want to sustain my strength in you. I want you to be stable. You can only be stable with my strength. I want you to abide with me. Abide in me and I in you, because God wants much fruit to bear out in our life. Again, like I say in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Sometimes people's joy is robbed for one reason or another. Remember, our joy does not come from people or circumstances. We can experience joy with people. We can experience joy in certain circumstances, but that's not the source of our joy. Jesus Christ is the source of our joy. It is what strengthens us. Because, again, not every day is going to be a perfect day. Not every person is going to be perfect towards us. But Jesus Christ is always perfect towards us. His grace is sufficient. Here's one, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, because it is the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to look at two places with me and we'll end. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll go to Psalm 119. But Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul learned what he wrote in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul learned how to let go of failures. Paul learned how to let go of heartaches. Paul had friends. He even sadly had to write about one by the name of Demas, who was a close friend, somebody who was his companion, someone who was a help in the ministry, that deserted Paul. And yet Paul was able to go on. Paul had many people do him wrong, but he had lots of people helping him. But there was one that never did Paul wrong. There was one that was always there. And there was one that helped Paul finish his race. Because Paul testifies to Timothy, I finished my race. Right before Paul gets executed, Paul writes to Timothy and says, I finished my race. I was able to keep the faith. And it wasn't because Paul was some giant man of the faith, not because he was super spiritual and no one can attain to his faith. He simply was trusting in Christ as his strength, as his rock, as his redeemer, as his friend. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you would, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, as we think about and we answer the question this morning of where, or what I should say, what is your strength in, or where is your strength? Is Jesus Christ your strength? Because we can do all things through Christ. I can face tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that if God brings me to it, God will bring me through it. In Psalm 119, you look at verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. To be offended is to be hurt, to resent, to not want to be around what it is or who it is that offended you in the first place. Don't be offended by what God allows in your life. Can we talk about this in Sunday school? Jairus came to Jesus by faith, knowing he could heal his daughter, because he says, just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be made whole. And Jesus went with Jairus. But his daughter died before Jesus got there. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come heal their brother Lazarus. And the Bible says he specifically stayed where he was at 3 more days. Lazarus died. Jesus said to his disciples, all right, let's go. And even Mary and Martha both asked, Lord, if you would have been here, he would have been alive. There are times in our life where God allows things to prove our faith and to strengthen our faith. To show us we're not as strong as we thought we were, but we can be strong in the Lord. Our adversary always wants us to question God and question his abilities. Well, if he's God, why didn't he keep this from happening? Because God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. On that day, Jairus went to Jesus, and then he had to come back home and see his daughter, his daughter's body laying on the bed, lifeless. Remember, before they got there, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Only believe what? That Jesus can. That Jesus can meet whatever need that you have. Maybe it's a need of being loved. Maybe it's a need of, I need some peace. My soul is troubled. I need some rest. Whatever that need is. Both Mary, Martha, and Jairus saw the power of God in 2 different ways. Jairus wanted Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter. He did. Laid his hand on his daughter and said, Talamakumai. He said, may it arise. And she did. But Mary and Martha saw the power of God's word. As Jesus said, roll the stone away. And he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out of that tomb. We experience the power of God in our life in different ways. But do we notice it? Or are we comparing our life with someone else and going, well, if you do that for me, their life is not my life. My life is not your life. What goes on in your life necessarily doesn't go on in my life. But we have a life that God wants to show himself great and mighty in, and he wants us to rely upon him. What is your strength? Is it man's philosophy? Because if you're on Facebook, you always see people just throwing these quotes up of other people's sayings. But the quotes that we think about should be from God's word that never fails. God's word is quick and powerful. God's word reminds us, you know what? There's a foundation that's been laid that my life has been placed upon, and that is Jesus Christ. That foundation is stability, hope, love, grace that never fades, it never changes. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world changes, people change, God never does. And may we never change in our faith towards God other than becoming stronger in our faith towards God.